She is responsible for our website, which I will show you at the end. So we try to put teachings up on there. There's just so much good stuff up on the website, and Marty is responsible for it. And she's also responsible for the logo. I did not know that until recently. And it's just an amazing encapsulation of what Faithful in Christ is all about. So without further ado, that seems to be my phrase today, without further ado, here is the wonderful Marty Haggerty to share God's word with you.
God bless everyone. Thank God to be here. And I thank you for all of your wonderful love to me and wonderful words, gracious words, Mary Ellen. Thank you very much. I am going to be 63 years old tomorrow. I was born again probably when I was about 9, but I didn't know I was born again until I was 16. So that was 47 years ago. Can you believe these things? I took a class that set me on a path to be a committed Christian and child of God. That was 41 years ago. I've been in the Word and on the pursuit of having a relationship with God more years than I was before then. And I really thank God for what He has protected me through and preserved me for and kept me in His bosom. Just, I feel like it's such a life of grace that I have led, that I have lived under the heart of God. And I just wanted to say that today. I thank God for each and every one of you as well, my beautiful and wonderful sisters in Christ, and how sweet the fellowship is that we have one with another. So my teaching is entitled Super Conqueror, and we're going to look at Romans 8. And in verse 8, Romans 8:37, it says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. And we're going to find out what more than conquerors means. In Spanish, the word here is victor or vencedores. I don't know if I said it right, but vencedores, victors. And we are victors through Him that loved us. In English, it's conqueror or conquistadore in Spanish. But before we dive into this verse, let's get a view of the big picture. I'm going to read this section in the New International Version, and you can read along in Romans 8, 26 through 39. I'm reading it in the New International Version because it flows just a little bit more than King James, but I am going back to that after this. So it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, and it says Himself, but it should say itself, intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who I have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also preordained, it says predestined, but it's preordained, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all the day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a section. It's incredible. It's an awesome section. And we're going to dive into it a little bit so we can get a greater understanding. But before we do, I'd like to thank Mariella. Thank you, Mariella, for laying such a perfect foundation for my teaching. It's incredible. So I'm going to go back to the King James Version. And the first verse I'm going to read is verse 28. And it says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Some people use this verse to say that the bad things that happen in life, otherwise known as tribulation, happen to us for a reason, and that they are God, and that God is testing us. This is absolutely not true. The things that happen in life that are not so good are not from God, they are from the adversary. He does not want us to do the word or to think the thoughts of God. He puts these things in our way so that we will not see the goodness of God. On the other hand, God is always looking and always working to get his goodness to us. And look here, it says that we are called according to his purpose. And I think we're going to understand that even a little bit better. But we are called to have a relationship with him, to be his child, and to be in this family. He had a purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the firstborn in our family. And the thing that we get born again, we get spirit. And that makes us part of this family. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Your Father is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he called you to this mighty calling, and no one could be against that. So this is what they call a rhetorical question. It doesn't need to be answered, but we need to recognize that no one can be against us with God on our side. He is for us. He that spared not his own son, how could you even think that God would not be for us? When he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And then it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's you. No one can lay anything to your charge. You are God's elect. You are his chosen one. And this calling that he's called you to is a very personal calling. It's not just because he had a plan to call many, doesn't make it any less personal. It's individual. It's from God's lips to your ears. Verse 34, who is he that condemns? Is it Christ that died for you? Rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for you. He pleads your prayers and your requests to God. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, sheep follow blindly. That's what they do. And that's why this is in here. We are warned not to do that. We do not follow blindly whatever happens or whatever the latest thing is. We don't follow that. We follow God's word. We have minds to think and we have spirits that we can connect and understand. So in verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What are the more things? What are the more than conquerors? What are we conquering here? We are conquering tribulation, affliction, disease, distress, anxiety, persecution, famine, nakedness, and danger. And I would like to recognize Mariella went to Romans 5 where it talked about tribulation. There is going to be tribulation in this life, in this world. Again, it's not from God, but when we stand faithful, when we are being patiently waiting and we are looking to God during that time, he puts his stamp of approval on us and we grow in our faith. And we know next time the tribulation happens, if we stay faithful, God's going to see us through it, just like he did last time. He'll heal us and deliver us from these things. In all these things, we are more than conquerors, it says in the King James Version. The word more than conqueror is one word in Greek. It's hupernikeo in Greek. That's hupernikeo. Hence, the title of this teaching is Hooperwoman. Not Superwoman, but Hooperwoman. And this word, hupernikeo, is used only one time right here. But it does have a root word, which is hooper. And hooper means super, over, or above, exceeding, highest, and beyond. And it's more than just being a winner. It's to totally dominate or control by conquest. And those things that we are conquering, go back to tribulation, affliction, disease, distress, anxiety, persecution, famine. You put your own thing in there. What is it you're going through right now? Maybe you need to put something on that list that you can conquer. So Huber is used two times in another verse that I wanted to look at to give us just a teeny bit more deeper meaning. It's used a lot of times, but this verse I think will speak to your heart. Let's go to Ephesians 3:20. Many of us are very familiar with this verse. It's a beloved verse. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In Greek, it says "huper perisos" and "huper all that we ask." "Huper perisos" is exceeding abundantly, and it means above or more than, beyond measure. The word perisos, which is abundantly, means beyond measure. So hooper, so super abundantly is what it means. And then it's above all that we ask or think. It's that same word. Isn't that an amazing verse? Now unto him that is able to do Hooper perisos, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And it's that power that works in us that makes us super conquerors as well. We are more than conquerors over those things, those tribulations and the distress, persecution, famine. Just say stress. You don't even have to say distress. Anxiety. You could just say anxiety. But how about hunger? I mean, you know, to have famine in the land or not nakedness. I mean, that hardly ever happens, although some ladies think they have nothing to wear. But, you know, those are pretty tough things that we can conquer these things. And we have the victory through Christ. But there is still a battle. There is still a struggle. And you have to conquer these things. God has called us to be victors in life. In Romans 5:17, it says, we reign in life by Jesus Christ. It's Christ in you. It's Christ in you. That's how come you're a hooper woman. You got Christ in you. You could say you're a supernatural woman because it's above nature, but it's a hooper woman. So how do we conquer these things? The how? By patiently, thank you again, Mariella, by patiently staying faithful to God's word and thinking the thoughts of God, by looking to God in everything we do, by prayer and speaking in tongues. You have spirit, speak in tongues. It talks about this. We're called to be doing these things. By acting on the word because we believe it. By fellowshipping and loving one another with honest care and concern for one another. By the Spirit of God. Again, it's Christ in you, baby. We are called into his purpose, and it's a holy purpose. You are called to be a hooper woman. Believe it or not, you're a super conqueror. God has called you to live victoriously. I can't say it enough. But we need to see things spiritually too. It says that God is for us. And I want to illustrate this point by going to a record in 2 Kings. So if you could turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. Okay, and I'm going to read it in the New International Version because it flows, but you can just follow along in whatever Bible you have. So 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Now this is a record of Elisha. Yes, a record. This is a historical record. It's not a story. This really happened. So let's read. Now the king of Aram was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. The man of God, who is Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. Verse 11. This enraged the king of Aram. He probably had a temper tantrum. He summoned his officers and he demanded of them, tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel. Who is the spy? Verse 12. None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Verse 13, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back. He is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. What do you think would happen here? He's freaking out. He goes, oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Listen to this. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The angel army host was there. Amazing. Verse 18, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha told them, this is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me and I will lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them? Do not kill them, he answered. Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Isn't that an amazing record? We need to see things spiritually too. God is for us. I'm going to read some verses here. You don't need to turn to them. Just relax and listen. Psalm 27:1. This is a psalm of David. And you may remember that Saul was out to kill David and he was running for his life. He writes, and he wrote something similar many times. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I'm going to give you a little homework. Read the whole psalm tonight. You'll get really blessed. Next, Psalm 56:9 through 11. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Psalm 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. 1 John 4:4. Thank you, Mary Ellen, for this song because this goes perfectly with this verse. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Romans 8:31 through 32. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? So I have one final question to ask. Can anything separate us from the love of God? In Romans 8:38 through 39, Paul writes, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a very dear verse. Nothing can separate you from God's love, not even death. That is the final enemy. But even so, we have the victory over death. We have eternal life. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And the last verse I want to share with you And this is also a very dear verse. And oftentimes I repeat this. It's a great comfort to me. I'll share something afterwards. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I work at Walgreens. And during this time, many people are very, very afraid. And so I have a lot of people that come in and not in good condition mentally. People that are afraid, they're not loving. They're not kind. They feel like they have no power over their life. And I'm not talking about the Christians, and even some Christians too. And maybe they feel a bit like they're going crazy right now. They come in, and I want to be great love to them. And I want to be patient and kind. And I want to be that Hooper woman. And this verse really enables me to not have fear, to know that I am protected when I walk among people, and to live that love of God, and that is a sound mind. That knowledge and living that way is having a sound mind. God has been very good to me all my life, and he has delivered me 1,000 times. And it's just a wonderful thing to know that he is going to deliver you and heal you, because you've seen it before, you know it's going to happen again. And if you have new people who haven't seen it yet, let them walk on your feet. Be a Hooper woman. I love you guys, and I thank God for you.